Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Chelsea Echo Space, I guess it is. We were going to call it an emergency pod, but it kind of isn't an emergency because he's going in 2 weeks. but we got a little bit of time. It is myself, it is Cam, it is Dan, and hopefully some of you guys are looking to get involved, Lara, in the show, discussing Thiago Silva and his statement today, where he has told everybody he is leaving Chelsea Football Club. But before we do get into that, gentlemen, how are we feeling? Did you cry or did you cut onions this morning?
Oh,
how did
you handle it? Mate, I cried. It was foggy for 5 minutes. I definitely cried. Held it in till the 3.5 minute mark of the video. But man, seeing the emotion on that man's face, you can't help but cry and feel gratitude, feel happiness, feel sadness. Really just all at the same time, feeling grateful for the way that this man feels about our club, because you could argue that he's already had, two major love affairs in his football career. It feels like he was in those Milan teams next to Maldini at times. I think he was in Maldini's later years, but he just feels like this ageless wonder. And for him to come to Chelsea when he did, when we ourselves had a club legend coming to take over at a very exciting and scary time, and the way that he stewarded us through that time, the way that he played like the best center back on the planet for almost 3 of his 4 years with us in the toughest league on earth, you just hard not to be emotional watching that today. And seeing how much it meant to him. So, I used up all the tissue. I don't know what you guys call it in the UK. Tissue, we call it Kleenex. But I used it all up in my house. So when you send me my flowers, Louis, please send me some extra tissues, will you?
I won't be sending you tissues. They won't be branded. We're not like the Americans, where everything's got to have that brand name. God. You lot of marketing. What are you doing? Anyway. Having said all of that, Dan, how are you feeling, mate? What was your reaction this morning?
Yeah, I mean, I think similar to a lot of Chelsea fans, right? It reminded me a lot of the way I felt watching Dave's speech before he left last summer. And it's very similar to that exit, because I think all of us expected this. So the news itself is not... I'd be quite surprised if there's any Chelsea fans who were shocked by the announcement today. Because it's felt like it's been coming since basically last summer. But I think, like the Azpilicueta farewell, I think the emotion shown, the genuine emotion shown by a player like that in an era when we don't see that a lot from players, I think it's very raw, it's very authentic, and I think it hits you very deep, and it showcases what Thiago has meant to us as fans, right? Like, all the criticism we can give for his performances this season, he will go down rightly as one of the greatest signings we have ever made. And I think that influence, that legacy he's going to leave behind is very, very powerful. So it's, I try not to think of it from a sad point of view. I actually think it makes me quite, it makes me quite happy and relieved that there is that still authentic connection to clubs from players at the top level. I think that some of us fear sometimes that has gone, and that's a bygone era. And when you see players to the level of Thiago Silva show that, when he's been here, only a couple years, it's not, when you can compare and contrast him to like Azpilicueta and other players who've been here like a decade. It says a lot, right? So all round, this is one of the greats. And I just feel privileged we got to watch him, to be honest.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I just, that's a great point. The privilege to be able to not only have him call our club home and a place that he loves so much, but to just watch him play as arguably one of the greatest center backs that the game has ever seen. We're just blessed. Right? You couldn't have said it any better, Dan.
Yeah, no, definitely. For me, the fact that at the end he basically said, goodbyes are for people who don't come back. I am definitely coming back. And for him to feel so at home in England, especially after living in Paris and Milan. I mean, London, it's no
I
contest,
mean,
okay? I don't know why I'm saying that
let's be
to you.
clear.
But I mean,
He
London,
left, he's from Rio de
cool.
Janeiro and then went to Milan and then went to Paris and then he still had the gumption to say how much he loved London. I mean, that tells you how much he loves us, mate. He came from Rio. It's insane. Different weather.
I mean, you've been there. You can tell us all about how amazing it is over there.
Yeah.
But you know the whole situation about how comfortable his family feel here, how at home they are, how they found a community. I think as someone who, ironically, I was speaking to my dad earlier today, about our family immigrating, finding a home in London from Italy. We were actually at the Italian church earlier today in Clerkenwell. And you think about the fact that when people can find someone, they can find home, but in a different country, how special that is. And the fact that build that see himself in Southwest London, he had himself, he had William, he had Jorginho, he had a lot of Brazilian, he's built his network and his community around there. To him, about him is just fantastic. But for me personally, when he came to Chelsea, I was in awe. Thiago Silva, growing up outside of JT, was one of my favourite players in the defensive situation. Defensive situation. I'm starting to sound like a Twitter tactico. Like the in defence as a centre back. He's one of my favourite players. And he when James Chelsea, it was Casey. Thiago Silva, this is one of the greatest centre backs of the modern era, pulling on a shirt. And he thought it would be a year or end of his career. 4 years later, so many memories, so much love shared with Chelsea fans around the world and in the stands as well. It's a An honour, I think, in fairness, to say that Thiago Silva is has been a Chelsea player, and long may it continue.
Yeah, I still don't even I don't even think I believed it. I'm curious, Dan, like what did you feel like the day that we found out we were signing Thiago Silva? Because we've obviously been very blessed in this both in this country and also at Chelsea with some amazing world-class center backs, but he was almost a this kind of He was a mythical creature, wasn't he? When we signed him, it was almost like, what? Like, I can't even believe that this is even legal, that this can happen. He's supposed to be washed up.
Yeah, it's interesting now looking back, because I was one of those idiots who feared the worst, just in a sense of
Boo.
a Lampard team that defensively hadn't been that good the previous season. And we've even seen a very recent example of this, right, with Kalidou Koulibaly, that adapting to a new league, a very intense league late in your career is just because, and that's not to say players don't have quality, but there were risks, right? There were risks attached. But there is undeniable, like, I remember at the time when he signed, it did feel like one of those players in the mold of like Fabregas, who I thought would never play for Chelsea. Like, just it felt almost surreal seeing him as in a Chelsea shirt. And I think the more when you start to see a player in that shirt and you start to realize, oh, he is going to actually be playing at Stamford Bridge. And actually, when you look at what the squad needed at that time, the pros started to outweigh any cons, especially in a team that was very young, a coach who was very young. And I thought that Silva felt like clearly a legend. And as Louis says, right, I think at the time, all we were kind of expecting was maybe 1 to 2 years at best. Like, that's the incredible thing. Like, I don't think many of us thought he's going to be here 4 years. It was always like he's right at the end of his career. This is one last thing to do in his career to check off playing in the Premier League. And if we can get a good season out of him, brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that we got four seasons almost feels unfair. I mean, I would have been happy with a one season, help steward our young boys. You know, it was our first time. It's funny to be on this side of the time of just the Chelsea timeline, if you will, because it wasn't that long ago that we were consistently being made fun of by the media, by rival clubs, you know, supporters, about not ever bringing through a youth player, right? And then when Frank came in, it was like, all right, we're going to give them all a try kind of at once. But then we brought him in to steward, you know, the players in the locker room, obviously alongside Frank and his coaching staff. And it truly was one of those felt like a match made in heaven moves from the beginning. You know, I remember thinking along the lines of you, Dan. I was like, well, you know, I'm not sure how this helps us on the pitch. I can see how it helps us off the pitch. I was certainly excited just from the standpoint of, wow, like we're going to get to see him play in a Chelsea shirt. But one thing I didn't expect from him was for him to fall so quickly for our club and for us to fall for him. I mean, he's a masterclass in how to show up for Chelsea supporters in the way that they hear and see the most. It's arguably a lesson that Mauricio Pochettino has not yet learned. And I just think, yeah, I just, you know, I know it's going to be nothing but gratitude in this pod, but man, the more we talk about him, the more we dig up some of these moments. And as we'll discuss with hopefully some callers as well, it's just each moment you just sit there and you just think, wow, you know, how lucky we were, to see him lift that trophy in Porto, knowing that we gave him, you know, the one trophy that eluded him his whole career.
I think a big thing with that as well, that trophy, you always see the image, and obviously it's gone around a lot today, and I'll try and find it, of the fact that him and Thomas Tuchel about 10 months beforehand were having to walk past that trophy, and there was an embrace between them when they lost the final to Bayern Munich, and you could see it was really difficult for them to 10 months later walking past the trophy again, but this time being able to lift it. And you always think, for many years when people talk about the greatest players not to win the Champions League, Thiago Silva was always very near the top. You'd say it was him and Zlatan were probably the two which were the players which you think, wow, they've never won a Champions League. How does that work? And then we finally gave it to him. And then obviously the images that have been doing the rounds today of him after that game where he, as he obviously, or just as the final was going, he was holding onto Mason Mount for dear life. So just trying to get the team through it, trying to push them through. And you could see that seniority, and he talks about it in his statement as well. He talks about how he came into the side as the new guy, but was almost automatically made this leader. And he is just going to be so sorely missed, because I don't know or can think of many players in world football. And I'm not even talking about age here. I'm just talking about that commandment of respect. I don't think there are many players in the modern game that hold that level of admiration from so many players that don't just play for that team, that aren't just supporters of that team, that aren't of a select few. Thiago Silva is simply... Look, for me, I'm going to make a case here, and it's probably something which would shock a few people. I think he's the greatest centre-back that Chelsea have ever had in terms of ability and skill. That's not me discrediting John Terry at all, in the slightest. I think it was still a greatest 11, the pair of them would sit side by side. But then you've still got the likes of Carvalho, you've got Marcel Desailly, Frank Leboeuf. Like, there are players there which were absolutely amazing, and Thiago Silva sits amongst them and arguably, for me, tops the lot.
It's a bold statement, but I don't disagree. I think in those first two years especially, you factor in the Frank year and then the Tuchel year in the Champions League, I think we saw the best Thiago Silva that there was. I mean, granted, he was older, but it wasn't he hadn't hit that physical limitation yet, and he was still able to produce. I mean, not only, amazing performances for us, but grind out results with a very young team. It goes to show, and I don't want to make this in any way tomato throwing pod about our current season, because I'm accepting of where we're at in our process as a club, even if I don't agree with everything. But it shows you what the likes of someone like that can do when they're brought into a young team with the right structure and the right incentives and the right mentality, as he was in the first 2 years versus, imagine people post where Chelsea would be if we didn't have Cole Palmer this year. Well, one thing you can't measure, but is certainly a good question, is where would we be this year without Thiago Silva? He's been able to keep us maybe to some extent at the level that we're at this year. Whereas in his first 2 years, along with his amazing performances and maybe still more peak athleticism, he was just immense in every category. So, best center back Chelsea's ever had. I mean, I'm easily willing to talk to say that it's him and John Terry, only because we didn't get to see, we didn't get to see 10 plus years of Thiago Silva. But on merit and on skill, I find it hard to argue with you, Lou. I'm curious what Dan thinks.
I mean, that is it is a big statement. I think that the weight of Silva's like footballing legacy comes into it. Like if we're just talking like footballing legends in a defensive sense, like Silva is right up there. Like he just is, right? And I think it's difficult to argue he's at the same level as JT, because JT is the greatest defender we've ever seen, the greatest leader we've seen at Chelsea. If as a Chelsea fan, it's very difficult for me to agree that he's the best defender we've had, because the longevity of JT was insane. You got to think that JT went through basically I would say two peaks in his Chelsea career, right at the start, or at least kind of in the first few years. I'm thinking more about like the first title winning season under Mourinho, that the mid to late noughties, and then there was the period under Benitez and AVB where it looked like maybe JT was starting to fade away, and then Mourinho comes back and he becomes the best defender in the Premier League again. I always felt watching Silva, it reminded me of JT like in the 14-15 season, or that Jose 2.0. And I thought that was such a gift to have a player like that back. I think, Chelsea, the gut reaction as a Chelsea fan is probably no. But then when you take the Chelsea glasses off a little bit and you look at his whole career, he is one of the best defenders we have ever seen. Like he is, I heard a Liverpool fan quite confidently a few months ago try and argue that Virgil van Dijk is the greatest defender to have ever existed, which I'm not saying he's a bad, obviously he's not a bad defender. He is one of the best defenders we've seen in the Premier League. But I think that's such an extraordinary statement, and I'd never have the arrogance to try and say that like Jay. Even though from a very biased Chelsea point of view, I'd always say that because he's my favourite defender to ever watch. And then you think about Thiago Silva, right? Who at times has been on a level with Virgil van Dijk when van Dijk has been much younger than him in a better performing structured team. So Silva has the feat of Silva's age to perform at the level he has for so long is remarkable.
Yeah, alone we have to. His professionalism is immense. I mean, the man, I think something that gets lost is that if you think about Brazilian players, right, most Brazilian players have a shorter shelf life for whatever reason. We've seen amazing, unbelievable talents, Ronaldinho, Ronaldo, Kaká, the whole lot, but like most of them kind of finished their peak years in their early 30s. And even, you could argue you have a branch of Brazilians that like to party, and I don't blame them because Brazil's amazing. But you have that version, and Neymar probably fits in there, and you can say, okay, well, it makes sense why their peaks are shorter, right? And then you have a Kaká who is a man of God and didn't party at all. and still had the injuries. Thiago Silva, definitely a man of God over a party guy, but the way that he's taken care of himself to get to the ability to play at the Premier League, in the Premier League at 35 years old at that level, is in itself amazing. Forget any of his performances. What he's done to be able to play and perform at that level and with that athleticism that he had was truly impressive, and to keep continuing, it's up there with not just players in world football history, but in every sport. I'm blessed to have been able to watch LeBron James for my entire life up close and personal, being from Cleveland, Ohio. I watched LeBron in high school as a 16-year-old, and I'm still watching LeBron as a 39-year-old, just like Thiago Silva, dominate, his peers. So I think we have to think, yeah, let's take our Chelsea glasses off for a second. But he's one of the greatest center backs to ever play the game, and one of the greatest great players to ever, I guess, to have such a lengthy career that he's had. Because I mean, who else has ever played this long? I mean, I can't think of anyone else in recent memory that has come close to this. And we're, I mean, JT, you said he had two peaks, but I don't know, Lou. Who else? Is there anybody that compares to like this level of longevity combined with the quality of performance?
I mean, I think there are players that have signed for other clubs at later ages where people thought they were finished, and they've stepped up to the plate. There was a fellow who played for Liverpool, his name escapes me right now. I'll have to look it up, but people were looking at him when he signed for them in his mid-30s as a player that was done. Yet he came and became such a pivotal part of that side. I don't think at 40. Maybe aside from Ryan Giggs, there's been a player in the Premier League era who has still been stepping up at the most elite level. And when Dan mentioned Virgil van Dijk, I'm going to find the statistics. I saw it earlier. And competed for being the best defender in the league. Now, when Virgil van Dijk was out with that ACL injury, everybody was looking at Thiago Silva going, yeah, he's the best. He's simply the best in the league.
Every match,
And he was free.
he was doing things that you couldn't even imagine, our other center backs doing, let alone someone at his age. It was the number of clearances he had. You're right. That Van Dijk year, it was super, super clear, I think, outside of Chelsea, just how good Thiago Silva was. But I agree. I don't think there's anybody. Ryan Giggs obviously had an amazing career. Clearly, just we can't even compare the character of the man between Ryan Giggs and Thiago Silva, considering Ryan Giggs's history. But on the pitch, it's the only other name that you can recall from the top of your head that had that longevity and was able to play at this level. And to be fair, I mean, Thiago Silva is a defender; he's a center back, so he's the least exposed player. But and we certainly played a back three quite a bit to fit him in certain, playing styles. But I just think, yeah, he deserves a lot for his professionalism. You could argue, I could easily see him playing 3 to 4 more years at a league of a lower stature. And he might do that.
That's insane, isn't it? That's ridiculous.
40,
Like, how
yeah.
many players have played past the age of 40 and still been sat there going, you're pretty solid, mate. No complaints from us. How many players do you look at and go, it's insane. It's absolutely insane. And it's the fact that if you think about those great Brazil players, you obviously mentioned, Kaká, Ronaldinho, Ronaldo. He was part of those squads.
Yeah.
He was there. And he's still playing.
Yeah.
It's nuts to think about the quality of player that we've been able to witness at Chelsea. That's why I made the statement I made earlier, because I got to watch John Terry for a long time. And Dan's absolutely right. The longevity of JT is insane. But player for player, at the age he was at the quality he was performing at, I'm going. It was hard not to sit there. Obviously, it takes a lot to say that as a Chelsea fan. It's not something I say lightly. But I was looking at those guys, just wow,
Yeah.
just unbelievable.
I mean, when you think about it too, he only played 3 less seasons than Eden Hazard did for us, I believe. which is crazy, you know? I mean, it's just how the time, in some ways it feels like he's played for us for 10 years, even though he's only played for us for four, which I think says a lot, you know, because it goes back to that statement of people don't remember what you said, they remember how you made them feel. And Thiago Silva's made us feel like $1 million, like the club of his dreams, like, you know, the only place he's ever wanted to be. And he did it with a smile, and he did it with shit English for the, I know he speaks English now, but at the beginning, and he did it with immense performances. So yeah, I love the man to death. All my Brazilian affiliation and biases aside, he is one of my favorite players of all time. I'm just, yeah, I can't say much more. What we do want to do is, you know, open this up. You know, me, Dan, and Lou have all day to talk to each other and, you know, cry to each other about how much we're going to miss Thiago Silva. But we want to hear from you guys that are in the room. I want to shout out to Tell and I became friends back when Clubhouse started. We were in the clubhouses before Twitter Spaces was ever a thing. So Tell, if you have something to say about Thiago Silva, please request, come on up. Sumit, I see you in there. I always see you all over Twitter. I don't know you, but would love to hear what you have to say about Thiago Silva. So guys, please hit the request button. Come on up. We'd love to chat and just kind of hear some of your favorite Thiago Silva moments, which is where we're going to go next. Dan, favorite Thiago Silva moment of the last 4 years. No pressure to just think of it off the top of your head right now. Go.
I think it has to be the clearance off the line against Juventus.
Oh, Dan, why'd you steal it? God damn it. I had the clip and everything ready.
Well, the thing is, right, is like it argue like actually it's not one of the most crucial moments, maybe. I think you could argue there are bigger moments he's had. But again, I think it just symbolized the quality. And I also think I was watching that clip back earlier and it was taking me back to that night and just all round how incredible that night was for Chelsea. And you know how it's not been like that since. But you know, he it just showed how he was ahead of the game so many times. And even whilst diving to clear the ball from off the line for a goal, he still does it with such class and poise, and like I've got full control of this situation. And I think it just epitomizes Silva's intelligence, awareness, and just ability to still perform at a high level. So that would be mine. As I say, that's the first one that came to mind.
All right. Well, you stole Louis, so
I'm livid. I'm
you need me
absolutely
to go
livid.
first, Lou, so you can recite and get one back in your head.
Yeah, go on, you go
Yeah.
first. Have another one. If you steal my next one,
I've
I'm going
got
to be, I don't know what I'm going to play.
two. One, my one on the pitch, and I think I responded to this earlier, Dan, with to your tweet. That his goal in the season that we won the Club World Cup after we won the Champions League. His goal against Tottenham, I don't know what it was about his celebration. It was the amount of passion that that man had to celebrate every goal like it could be his last, and celebrate it with our supporters just always really resonated with me and hit me emotionally. And when he scored that goal, that header against Tottenham, and just running over to the Chelsea fans with his blonde hair, because him and Jorginho dyed their hair blonde. That just always, the way he celebrated and looked at our fans, that was like one of those moments that was just surreal to me when it happened. Like he's fucking doing it at, well, not even at 3-point lane anymore, because we were well past that, but he's doing it against our most hated rivals. And you know, he just looks proper Chelsea when he's celebrating it. That was special. Off the pitch, I just, you know, you're just always going to remember. I don't actually even remember what match it was, guys. You're gonna remind me, because you'll remember. But with, I think it was him, Mason Mount, and Jorginho, was it, during the COVID era, celebrating
Atletico Madrid in the Champions
Yes, that
League.
one.
That was the one I was going to say again. You've stolen it again.
Oh, fucking hell.
God damn it. I'm going to have to look for number three now. Give me a minute. Keep
I'm gonna
going.
put it in the I'm gonna put it in the so up top you've got the video of him standing there in the empty stadium. It's definitely my favorite off the pitch moment because you know that was a real moment for us. Obviously during the pandemic, all those ma moments mattered more, right? They carried more weight because we were so devoid of any other connection in our lives in a lot of ways that we're used to. And I think those moments hit a little bit harder. I don't know about you guys, but for me, they did. And that one was just that was to see, and especially because of what he did in for Mason Mount. I know that Mason Mount is a hot topic, and I tend to have a different opinion than most of Chelsea Twitter about Mason Mount and what actually happened with him. If you know what actually happened behind the scenes, it's a totally different story to what most people think, but. The way that Mason Mount looked up to him, spoke about him, the way that he spoke about Mason Mount, as everybody else did, and Mason Mount's professionalism, I was always a big fan of that and the connection that they had, despite the fact that they were, Mason Mount could arguably be Thiago Silva's son, apart from maybe the English speaking fact. So, hopefully, all that talking was enough for Lou to come up with his own original favorite Thiago Silva moment.
I've got two.
Oh.
I've gone for the first one is the image I'm going to put in, which I'm sure everybody loves, and it was obviously in the 2-2 draw with Tottenham when Tuchel and Antonio Conte went on. Well, basically went for each other right at the end. It's Thiago Silva giving Anthony Taylor the
Of
fingers,
course.
despite the fact it's probably him just saying something different. It's one of my favourite images as a
But
player in a Chelsea shirt
one
ever.
thing about that, do you think he knows what he's I don't think he actually because I for one just recently learned the two finger thing and what it means and the historical reference. Do you think he knew it or do you think he was just pointing out something, the number two, and it just happened to
I do. I
be the perfect shot?
yeah. I think it's the latter. I think it's the latter, but it is just the perfect shot. And I will always tell anybody that he was swearing at Anthony Taylor because I think everyone wants to do that to Anthony Taylor. That's probably my favourite. But then I was just scrolling and having a look. There's the clip of him at the Champions League final after he went off injured, and you think about. That game itself, right? He had a very similar clearance to the one that he had in that Juventus game, and it actually cost him his place in the side. He had to go off injured, and then he obviously at that point, was on the touchline, almost feeling a little bit useless. But then you watch this video, you just see he was doing everything he possibly could to drag everybody through that game. Mentally is it's just fantastic. And I'm just scrolling through Twitter now, just looking at more of the things after my ideas were stolen. So it's a case of he is just simply a model professional and somebody who we have been so very, very lucky to have pull on a Chelsea shirt.
I want to give a little anecdote while for this, just because I've never really told this story before. But I was one of the lucky people who got I think one of 1,000 UEFA tickets to go to the Champions League final in Porto because I live in Portugal. Just getting out of a COVID lockdown and was lucky enough that the Champions League final with my club in it was, 3 hours away up north. And so I got a ticket, and there was the I wasn't in the supporters end, so I wasn't in kind of behind either goal, and it was weird because it was COVID times, right? So we there weren't it wasn't a full stadium, and as an American, I'm totally used to being around supporters of the other team, but I know in the UK and from my time at Stamford Bridge, it's absolutely not normal. Yet there I was, sat amongst City supporters. And we were all intermingled and mixed, and it was super weird. And eventually, a few Chelsea guys were like, "Come on, come on, come on, sit over with me." And so I went over and sat with them and watched us, win. You can see me running down the stairs celebrating Kai Havertz's goal on the official UEFA video. And once we won and we were down close to the pitch and celebrating, the boys had, lifted the trophy and everything. We were just sat there, we were kind of in the mix zone in a way because there were some TV kind of interview background set up for players and coaches to come over and chat. And Thiago Silva, there was I remember Mason Mount, Ben Chilwell, Reece James all sitting in the middle of the pitch, just in awe of what had just happened to them, right? Everybody's yelling at them, "Come over, guys, come over, come say hey." And they eventually did, right? But they sat there for a while. Thiago Silva was actually about to walk into the locker room after celebrating with the Chelsea fans on the other end of the stadium, and he heard us chanting for him. He heard us sing his song, and he walked over to us. He had his sons there, and he was just standing in front of us, just like, and he was singing his song with us, like just mouthing the "Oh, Thiago Silva," and like putting his hands up like we were. And he just started crying in front of us. Like he just had tears like running down his face. And I was crying. It was just, tears are in my eyes. The man is just, he just loved. Obviously, he had just won the Champions League and it had eluded him his whole life and his career. And considering who he played for and with, you'd imagine, how immense that feeling must have been for him. But just another example of how much he cared, to that level that John Terry cared about Chelsea. You could argue Thiago Silva, for not being a Chelsea youth product, he had almost the same amount of love and care and affection for us. And how much he just came over and just, wanted to feel the same thing with the fans, wanted to reach out and extend just as much of his arm as everybody was extending to him. Yeah, that's it was just a beautiful moment that I wanted to share that I remember so vividly and deeply, and just super grateful that I got the chance to see him play in my life. I think I've got to see him 3 or 4 times, so.
Yeah, that's a hell of a story. I mean, because you've told me the story about heading up there a few times now, and it's just that's a nice little bit for you, which you shared, which I think is so important. It's those are the best memories though, aren't they? Like those little
Oh
things,
yeah.
which would last a long time, are just absolutely spectacular. Like I remember the day he signed, right? It was obviously during COVID. I was back home with my family in Kent, and at that point, I literally had money to burn, as everyone did when you were given the just money just to chill out. Basically, it was brilliant, and I remember it was just after things had slowly started opening up, and I was eat out to help out, right? And I had there was a coffee shop called Gusta, which I go to whenever I'm back home. It's run by these Italian lads, right? And I'd even now when I got home, I could stand there for about 4 or 5 hours and just chat absolute rubbish with them, right? But at this point, we'd be stood there. I'd head in about midday and I'd leave about 4 o'clock because that was my social interaction time, basically, right? And we'd spend the whole time looking at football shirts. And I remember Nike had just done a whole release where they'd basically dropped everything by about 30 quid, 40 quid, every single shirt. So I literally bought 5 or 6 shirts at the same time. And one of them was a Thiago Silva PSG shirt from his last season. And I remember I bought the shirt and I was wearing it there one day. And just obviously out of nowhere, there was little mumblings, but no one thought anything of it. I remember him signing and then bang. Like that was it. I had the shirt on, Thiago Silva just signed for Chelsea. And I remember just walking up the street with this massive smile on my face, right? Listening to Thiago Silva by Santan Dave. I had it on repeat for about 5 days. I was so happy. But it's like this, those little moments and little things. Obviously, mine's pales in comparison to yours, but it's those little moments which can make a massive thing. And I actually looked at the shirt earlier today. I was like, blimey, like I'm gonna have to go buy another shirt with Thiago Silva on the back this year. That's no question. He's been absolutely fantastic, and I know I keep saying it, but he's just next level, especially after how he started as well. You think about that West Brom game, and everyone thinking, right, now that's it, he's washed. He's
Yep.
the that's Thiago Silva just wasn't going to be the guy. And how he basically used that as an excuse to learn and just completely adapted. It's spec truly spectacular, isn't it, Dan?
Yeah, I think overall it's been a remarkable story, and I think that Silva, as I say, will go down as one of our best pieces of business. And I think the nice thing is he's going to get a very fond farewell now for the last few weeks, and I'm definitely making sure I'm there for the final game of the season when he gets that farewell against Bournemouth.
Yeah, I'm jealous that you guys are going to get to be there. And that's the only downside. But I think, Lou, just to say, I think all these moments, whether it's me at a Champions League final, you at your local coffee shop with chatting some rubbish with some Italian lads, like it, all those moments that he gave us, they all mean the same because it's what makes us feel, makes us feel like we're a part of Chelsea and why we keep showing up every week to the bridge or in front of our computer screens or TVs or the Twitter spaces or whatever. It's what it's all about. He embodied it. He embodied what it meant to be Chelsea in every aspect, whether it was, what foot he put first when he was sprinting or what words he put first when he was speaking. And it's just, and I even, like you said, how many times people would say he was washed. I think there was a match. Was it the West Brom one? Was it where he made just like a blinding error in the very beginning of the season when he started?
Yeah, we lost 3-0 against them, and people were putting it all at his feet for that loss.
And he turned it all around, and he really wasn't bad before that. But it just goes to show the professionalism and the eliteness. He is elite. He is in the bracket of the LeBron James, the Michael Jordans, the Lionel Messis, if you will, in terms of elite athletes and what they can, what they can do and their longevity. And with that, I want to give one final question to Dan here because Dan's got to go. But I just want to speed up the process here and ask Dan one final thing. Where's Thiago Silva going, Dan? And how on God's green earth are we going to replace him and with who?
I've no idea where he's going. I mean, I always assumed he'd go back to Brazil for a final end to his chapter. It just felt like kind of the perfect way romantically for him to finish his story, but I don't know. I mean, maybe something else pops up and he takes that across Europe, but my instinct would be to put money on him going back to Brazil. In terms of replacing him, it is difficult because trying to find another Silva is, of course, basically an impossible task. I think the one thing, the lesson of Silva, and I tweeted this earlier, is that you can't write off players based on age. You can't. It's very silly to look at your transfer strategy and say, we're not looking at anyone above this age, because you miss out on experience. You miss out on players who can offer you real transformative things. And I'm not saying we're going to find another Silva quickly, because obviously that in itself is an issue. The one thing I would say, and this has been, I think, a positive despite our defensive record this season, is that there is a succession there. Wesley Fofana, of course, has injury issues, but if he can get past those, there's a very good defender there. Trevoh Chalobah is still young and developing, and I think if Chelsea keep him, I think he'll become a better player. And the hope is that Chelsea maybe could find, if we're going to buy anyone in the market, we have to buy a prime or older player. There's no point spending money in defence for another 21-year-old. So trying to replace him is a daunting feat, but it's something the club has to do.
Yeah, Dan, I agree. And to be fair, like one last point is just that you don't find center backs that are really available in the way Thiago Silva was. If you're a center back of Thiago Silva's stature, you're staying. Your club is valuing you more than you know, and you're staying with them for a very long time. They're not readily available on the market, which makes it tough. I struggle to think actually right now of somebody in the age range of a 27 to 31, 32 that both is of a similar stature and also would be willing to leave the club they're at. So I do agree with you. I think the succession's there. We have hopefully all of our young center backs have just been watching this man with a magnifying glass, for the past 2, 3, 4 years, to learn from him as much as they can, just like we had players doing when Frank was in his last few years. So we can only hope. But Dan, really appreciate you joining us, man. I know you got to run. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for talking about Thiago Silva. Thanks for stealing Lou's favorite Thiago Silva moment. That was classic. And we'll catch you on the next space.
No worries, guys. All the best.
Lou, where do you think he's going? Because I mean, yeah, I don't. Or let me ask you a different question. Because I do agree with Dan. I believe he's going back to Brazil. I think he's going back to his boyhood club in Fluminense, who has just won the Copa Libertadores. I couldn't say it correctly, but that's the Champions League of South America. They played Manchester City in the Club World Cup final. Marcelo's playing for them, so I would love to see him go back to Fluminense. But where, if he stays in Europe, where do you think he could go league-wise? Where could you see him still playing?
Well, there's talk of him staying in the Premier League, which interests me.
Oh,
I
you want to
don't
break
think
my
he
heart
will.
now?
I think he will. I think the only place he would go would be Wolves or something like that, right? And I just can't. I don't think he would. But obviously, the big thing he said in his statement is that with his son playing for Chelsea, that the family is going here. So it's not completely out of the question. But having said that, I could just see him back in the league. I think he, action of the old school defender, which is modernized, but could very comfortably slip back into Italy and show how it's done. And this isn't me going after the Italian league again, all right? It's the fact that I could see him doing the Zlatan. Now, going back to AC Milan, they've been incredibly light on centre backs this season. They've actually had to promote these players from the thought of just Thiago Silva playing alongside Fekir Tomori, obviously Christian Pulisic is already there, as is Loftus-Cheek, Olivier Giroud. They must have what happens with that. Heading back to East Milan from Chelsea just seems like a right passage at the moment. So I think you could see him doing that potentially, but really, I'm in the same. And Dan, I think that's Brazil.
I heard some of what you were saying, Lou. Some of it was cutting out, but I think you made a good point, which is, with the Italian league being a bit more tactical, with his history kind of starting there, and with AC Milan being in kind of a limbo phase with their kind of defensive players. I do think, you could see him go back there for a year or two and be comfortable, not have to worry about as much of the space in behind him like he has at Chelsea in a much faster, more physical Premier League. You could also argue another, you could say, look, he's not going to play for another team in England because of his love for Chelsea. He's not going to play for another team in France because of his love for PSG. And he's not going to play for another team besides Milan and in Italy. So, if he's can't sign with any of those three teams, then maybe you see him go to, I'd love to see him play in, La Liga, for instance. Maybe a team like Valencia or Villarreal or something, could be nice. Or maybe he goes to Sevilla. Sevilla would be, they have Sergio Ramos. Could you imagine Sergio Ramos and Thiago Silva suiting up for Sevilla next year?
Extremely terrifying in 2012. That those two in their prime, you'd be thinking, "Oh my God!"
Oh.
Obviously, they're still major centre backs, but yeah, that I see him at Atletico Madrid
That
because
too, yeah.
he's capital city, Diego. So you see him there. Go to Getafe as well because that is in Madrid. I learned that when I went there last year.
True, it
But
is in Madrid.
fun facts here at the Chelsea Echo, as per.
I would selfishly also ask, say he would fit in really well at Porto. And they have Pepe still playing for them, and he honestly is probably actually I was pretty impressed with him, especially. And I let me be really, really clear. I really hate Pepe. I've hated him his whole career. I think he's an asshole. I hate playing against him. I never thought he was as good as he thought he was, but he's still pretty freaking good. And he's 40 himself playing in the Champions League. Thiago Silva and Pepe in the Premier League of Portugal could be quite an interesting one, considering Sporting and Benfica tend to go with a younger squad. Porto has a bit more of a historical culture about them. And fun fact, Lou, I don't know if you know this, but do you know who the new president is of FC Porto?
It is André Villas
It's
Boas. You
Andre
can't get that
Villas
past me.
Boas. Can't get it past Lou. Yeah, so funny Chelsea fact there. But hopefully he does the right thing and goes back to Brazil. Obviously, we would hate to see him in the Premier League with anyone else, but just overall grateful for the years he gave us. Now I see a bunch of you in here. Oh, you know who I see in here, Lou? The
Who do you see?
Roadman, Kenny Rhoda, aka my father, is in here listening to
Oh, yeah.
us. So shout out to me dad. Thanks for he's the one in there with the picture with Ric Flair. Can we get a Ric Flair woo for my dad there? We've got some other people in here. We'd love to hear from you guys. Lou and I can talk for 36 days straight, but we would definitely love.
That's a problem.
Yeah, I mean, it's our WhatsApp chats are just they're just endless, really. But would love to hear from you, any of you in here. I know Tell, she dusted me, man. She didn't want to come up and talk. But we've got David Patrick in here, got Simon Almsky. There's a Roma supporter in here, Roma Chelsea fan. I'd love to hear from him if he would take Thiago Silva in his back line next season, because Roma is the club of my heart, from my time in Italy, the club where I spent the most time watching. And the fact that they had Tammy Abraham, Jose Mourinho, I was very lucky to see them, last year against Napoli. So would love to see them in Roma, but it looks like David Patrick's come up. Mart, I see you in there. I'd love to get you up here, but let's talk to David. How you doing, man? Are you up here with us or?
He should be. Let me just give it one more little nudge. There we go. He should be able to speak now. I've sent him the invite. Oh, there's an error. So, David, if you want to come up, mate, you might have to hop out and hop back in.
Twitter Space
In the
is always doing that to
meantime,
us,
I know
man.
it's a nightmare. In the meantime, Mark's here. He's going to come in and start talking about Ashley Williams, probably. That's probably what I'm expecting.
Oh, the West.
Ashley Williams, Gary Monk. Whoever it is, he's centre back. He was excellent for Swansea in the early 20s.
Who is the Welsh striker that scored that worldie at the Euros? Oh,
It is Hal
Hal
Robson-Kanu,
Robson-Kanu, that was it.
who got a move just purely off the back of
Yeah,
that to a Premier League side. It was hilarious. It was so funny.
he deserved every bit of it.
He was. Do you know he runs? I've got him on LinkedIn, right? It's really funny, right? Because he runs a company that does turmeric energy drink stuff now, and that's always something I find quite funny.
Wow.
But yeah, Mark is here. Is Mark going to give us a Swansea centre back that was better than Thiago Silva or on a par? And I'm going to expect
Well, Mark, what do you got for us?
Evening, chaps. How we doing?
Not bad.
Not too bad, thank you, mate. Not too
I'm,
bad.
we're still living off that Robson-Kanu goal, by the way.
I'm not even Welsh, mate, and I'm still living off of it.
Outstanding moment. No, I don't think so. I'd love to say we've had a centre half like that, but no, I think he's just been something else, hasn't he? What an absolute legend of the club. We all love him, and hopefully one day he'll be able to come back in some real capacity. But maybe he needs a bit of time. But yeah, what a class act! Absolutely, just great things to say about the guy. Love him to bits. Great guy.
You have a moment that sticks out for you, Mart, in your mind, whether
Yes.
on the pitch or off from him?
Yeah, top the Tottenham goal.
Tottenham.
Just the running away, the celebration, that run that he does, pumping his arms, knees coming up. You know, I was off the sofa that day running around like a lunatic, you know, and yeah, that moment always sticks out for me. Really does. Love it.
That was mine, Mark. And I said there was something about his celebration, the passion on his face while he's pumping his arms, running towards our end. It was a special goal. It really was. And it was, of course, after we won the Champions League, we knew we were going to get a crack at the Club World Cup that year too. Obviously, to do it, you know, in North London, like we always do against Tottenham, and have him just be a part of that. And to be fair, you know, he had some of that trademark, that trademark JT presence in the box, you know, and he's not the tallest center back, you know, but he did have that ability to score, you know, a front post header like John Terry would, you know, with those runs. And that Tottenham one is a really, really great example of it. Now, when he started, Mark, how many years did you think we would have Thiago Silva realistically?
One.
you thought it was a one and done as well?
Yeah, I thought he would be, you know, in just to fill a gap, you know, just steady the ship a little bit, a good signing. But no, I didn't think we'd get what we have out of him. And do you know, the question I was going to ask you guys, I don't know, because I joined a bit late, I'm not sure if you've had this one, but who would you like, if we think back the last sort of few years, who would you have liked to have seen him paired with?
Oh, JT. Him and JT would have been formidable. But that when Carvalho left for Real Madrid, I think we and they formed a partnership to Thiago Silva. And that's something we'd have to see. I think that in their prime, imagine that pairing with Mourinho. Or even better, Conte season. Imagine him, maybe you have, if you wouldn't have seen Luiz, I don't think, you would probably have seen Thiago Silva middle, Harry Cahill left centre-back, Aspilicueta right centre-back. No one's getting through that. That would have been absolutely unbelievable to see.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I mean, I think JT is the clearest answer. It's kind of the first answer that everybody thinks about, because who wouldn't want to see two of the greatest center backs, you know, in the history of the game pair up together like that? I'm curious how, because of the way that, you know, Ricardo Carvalho played, you know, you saw, for instance, you saw John Terry play well with most center backs that he played with. There was never an issue really where you had a player that didn't gel with him. But he certainly played better with a bit more of maybe a more dynamic center back like Ricardo Carvalho. So, you know, with that, I personally think I would have enjoyed seeing Thiago Silva play if I can't pick John Terry, because we've already said it. I actually would have preferred to see him play with, you know, in our 2012 team with literally anyone else besides John Terry as well. Imagine a Thiago Silva Ivanovic back line, you know, at center back. That would have been a formidable one. Also, because I think Thiago Silva had the dynamism in his game back then that he could play with a more brutish kind of rough and tumble center back like Branislav Ivanovic. He also could have filled in that role a bit more and let a player like David Luiz, you know, who's a bit more flair and wanted to be on the ball a bit more. I do like Lou's idea as well of you know, putting him in that back three in the Conte title winning season with, you know, David Luiz and Gary Cahill. I think that's my pick, actually, Lou. I would take that.
I was really disappointed that you've not said Cali Boularouz, if I'm being brutally honest.
Yeah.
It is what it is. I'll let it slide.
He was next, but it was like honorable mention, you know. Honest, you know, I can't get over the dream I still have is just imagining Thiago Silva playing us out of the back, passing it into midfield, and Marco Marin on the half turn just dusting some players and you know,
Marco Marin.
That's
with Gronkite on the other wing.
Yeah.
got Yossi Benayoun making up the players coming
on. Yeah, we could have brought brought Bogard off the bench as well in case he was struggling, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, fucking hell.
Lads, can I ask you one other question? I'm really sorry.
Please do.
Right, so, you know, obviously Thiago's going to go down as, whilst he wasn't here for a huge amount of time, he is going to go down as, a really legendary sort of player. Where does he rank amongst the other? I mean, we've got favourites like, Zola, Viala, you come in. Desai came in late in his career as well. Where would you guys put him alongside those kind of, because Zola was an absolute magician, one of my favourite players ever, but, where would you guys rank him in there?
Oof. It's a great question, Mark, because Louis just made a very strong statement that has some merit in that he's actually our best center back of all time. Now, I don't think he was trying to be hyperbolic, because naturally everyone reflexively says, John Terry, what are you talking about? But I think there's some merit to what Louis said. I'm not sure if I fully agree. But to kind of compare to those later stage players that came in for us, and obviously, look, I, being an American, I wasn't able to really start watching Chelsea until kind of the Frank and Ranieri year, because just of, the internet wasn't really popping off. There wasn't that many matches. So while I've gone back and watched many games from the 90s and learned all about our history and with Gianfranco Zola and Di Matteo and Viali and Ruud Gullit coming in, it's hard for me to kind of put Thiago Silva up against them because I didn't live through their era. But I think you could argue that he's the greatest one out of them all, strictly because we ended up winning the Champions League and the Club World Cup, and we won it for a second time, yeah, but we won the Club World Cup for the first time. And I don't know, that's an argument where you're always going to get the supporters who lived through the 90s to say, well, this is when, Chelsea, we were shit in the 80s and we got relegated, and these guys, were the first, Ruud Gullit, I think you could say Ruud Gullit's probably the best late career signing, strictly because of the star power that he brought to Chelsea. He put Chelsea on the map more internationally and made everybody recognize that, hey, this is actually a pretty big club. Look who they brought in. I mean, even I think, you look back at some of the interviews, some of the other players were in awe that he was showing up there. Then you'd probably argue, Gianfranco Zola, of course, the magician, and he had the most effect on the pitch. After those two, I think it's a toss-up, and I think you could easily see Thiago Silva slot in at number three there. And that's just trying to give historical context. But what do you think, Mark?
I'm finding it hard to disagree what you said, to be honest with you. I think Gullit was a turning point in the club.
Yeah.
Because I think, didn't he bring, like, Zola, Viali, that kind of group came sort of around him, didn't they?
Yep.
I can mention Mark Hughes now for going down the old Welsh route again. So,
oh, there you go.
Shock horror. Mark's mentioned someone Welsh.
Mark's not allowed to come on anymore without name dropping a unique Welsh player. So now we've got Mark Hughes out of the way. We've got
Joe Allen
out. So yeah, Mark, next time you just got to have your list ready for the next one. All right.
Well, yeah, that's no problem. I'll be doing that on Thursday night. No problem at all.
Cheers. But you're right. You're right. You're absolutely right in the sense that Ruud Gullit was kind of the turning. It was one of those random happenings that turned out to be a massive historical point. And beyond that, it became a point that other big names in world football that weren't English decided, yeah, I'll go try this out. I'll go try out the King's Road. I'll go try out, Fulham and see what Chelsea and London's all about, and those ended up being, up until Roman bought us, those were our most glorious years, weren't they? Besides maybe, I mean, the late 90s were probably our most, in terms of at least the culture and the perception of the club. I know we weren't like insanely successful, but we did win the FA Cup, we won the Cup Winners' Cup. So I would argue, yeah, after those two guys, it's got to be Thiago Silva. But I'm sure Lou's going to come in with a curveball for me.
No, I was thinking about it, and I do agree. I mean, look, I I know about our history, like you said, Cam, but I am 26 years of age, so I cannot fully comment.
He's a baby!
I am indeed a baby. Gets past people a few times, especially the person who said I looked like I was 36 about 3 months ago. That was really appreciated.
Well, fuck that guy.
Aside from that, yeah, and it was a woman, actually.
Even better.
She did have a moustache, but it's fine. It was well-groomed. with that being said, I can't think of a player which, he comes into that category. I think in terms of my generation, I'd argue he is the Hullet-esque figure. You know, he's someone who came in later on in their career who you didn't think would. I think maybe him or Fabregas, but, you know, he's one of those players which you never thought you'd see pull on a Chelsea shirt and did so. You're in the toilet, Cam, at the same time as doing this right now.
No, I'm not. I'm filling my cat's water bowl. I'm sorry, guys. I was like, I need to get her off the mic here, so I'll mute myself.
Yeah. I'd say, look, Thiago Silva is a player which I think has a lot of pedigree, which I don't think, as I said earlier, you didn't think he'd pull on the Chelsea shirt. He did it. He came through, and he has become an ever-present. And I mean, look, Mark, I'll ask you this question, as you did throw it back earlier, so you might want to throw it back in this conversation as well. Is he? Well, I mean, I think it's fairly obvious that one of the centre backs in the greatest 11 is JT. But is he somebody who you consider his pairing in that team, or do you look at Leboeuf? Do you look at Desailly? Is it Carvalho? Who for you sits alongside John Terry as the player in the greatest 11 to make up those centre backs?
That's difficult. I think he's just a Rolls Royce. I love that kind of player. I think what you want from your centre halves, your defenders, is just that level of consistency, isn't it? They don't make errors. And I can't think of too many for Thiago. That horrible moment against West Brom a few years ago. And aside from that, I would have liked to have seen him alongside a JT, maybe a young version of Desai when he had legs. I think that would be what I'd have liked to have seen. I think, I'm struggling to see beyond that, I've got to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, it would have, you could argue that he came at the best time, not in his career, but in the moment for our club. But it would have been, the only time I could see it being better for him to actually show up. And maybe that's a better question instead of this kind of hypothetical of who would we see him playing with out of everyone in history. It's what moment in history would you have liked to see Thiago Silva come to Chelsea if it wasn't in the year that he came in? And mine would have probably been in that last season or the season after Antonio Conte's second season. I think it would have been immense, especially because we were going for Virgil van Dijk and didn't get him, especially because we made a lot of other subpar signings in that year that cost us, I believe, a top four position, even though we won the FA Cup. That's maybe a better question to ask you guys is when would you have liked to sign him if it wasn't in 2020 or 2019, I guess.
I mean, yeah, I think it probably would have been the same year.
Just think when JT's leaving, not that Gary Cahill by any means did. Gary Cahill was a great captain for us, and I thought he handled that really tough transition period really well, just like, you're going to see, what's his name, Arne Slot come in and have to handle with Liverpool after Klopp leaves. It's never easy, and I thought Gary Cahill did immense in that period of time for us. But, I just think that has to be the best time to have seen him, because otherwise, you're taking Gary Cahill or David Luiz out of a Champions League winning side. I don't think we're going to say that. I think that's it. What do you think? Would you agree, Mart?
Yeah, I can't disagree with that. I think perhaps would I have liked to have seen him work with a Jose? Probably. And just to see how that would have looked. I mean, look, you can't argue with the pairings that we had there, because that's what we had and you can't change it. But you could just see Jose would have just loved him as well, wouldn't he? He'd have, he'd have been an absolute animal under Jose. I don't think we'd ever would have conceded a goal with Cech in there as well. I think we would have just been, that would have been something I'd have liked to have seen.
Agree with you, Mart. I agree. Any player of our, of our current team and past teams, I think would, probably improve under Jose Mourinho, but you could see you don't even need to think about it. You can just see how much Thiago Silva was made to actually play for someone like Jose with the heart and passion that he has for the club and that he has on the pitch and the seriousness that he carries himself with. So, Mark, it's been awesome to chat with you. We have one of our very famous, very beloved Spaces regulars in the requests right now, Mr. John Carthy himself. I'm trying to bring him up right now. Hopefully we can get him up, but Twitter Spaces likes to play games with us. So we're going to get John up here. We've got one more.
I've added him now, so he should be in.
Go on, John. What?
Come on.
I just keep hitting.
John.
Oh, he dropped out. I bet he's come back in. See, John's such a regular that he knows the drill. He knows that Twitter Spaces doesn't have us in their best interest, and that's why we consistently have problems bringing people up onto the stage here. But hopefully John knows us pretty well, and he's going to jump back in and give us a chat, because John is a proper Chelsea supporter through and through. And he has his own style, We were just talking about it. John has his own style of – he just comes in.
I love it.
Reads his bullet points, so and it's he just gets on with it. So while we wait for John, we're going to bring up – we've got time for about two more people here. So hopefully John gets back to us. It looks like we have one other supporter, Abiodun Samuel. I hope I said your name correctly, my friend. If not, we're going to give you a chance to come up and speak. Let us know what you think about Thiago Silva, and let me know, please, if I got your name right or not. Looks like he's got an amazing kit on in his profile picture, which I need to figure out what kit that is. It's not a kit at all. Wow, well, they need to make that a kit. That's lovely. Abiodun, am I saying your name correctly, my friend? We'd love to hear from you. Could you go ahead and unmute yourself?
Five, four, three, two.
Abiodun.
1 3/4. 1.5.
Abiodun, we'd love to hear from you, mate. Could you unmute yourself?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
No. Okay. All right, guys. Did he say something? No.
He went. We removed him. He's requested again. Hang on. There we go. Add a speaker. Try now.
I'm just gutted John missed out.
I know. John.
Oh, there he is. He's in. How are you doing? One more time. Can you unmute yourself, my friend?
It's not working. Sorry, Abiodun.
Sorry, mate.
We're going to have to leave it on this one. Oh, for fuck's sake! Why is it just as I came in?
Just as he came in. Oh, mate. All right. Well.
Oh, no, man. Sorry, Abiodun.
That's our fault. But it's actually Twitter's fault. It's Elon Musk's fault. Everybody, please tweet Elon Musk and tell him to fix this very lovely stage and place that we hold so many chats. Really, really, really grateful to everybody who's come out to listen, especially Mart, who's always joining us these days, Simon, Almsky, Kenny Rowe to the Roadman, I see you. Thanks for checking us out. And to everybody else, this is the Chelsea Echo, your number one place to have a sensible, real conversation with real Chelsea supporters
I mean, let's be fair, Cam. Right? It's semi sensible because it's not always sensible because we're idiots.
Yeah.
So that's what we need to get out but there we're, first. Like we can't.
We're useful that. Idiots, we're though, and we love to let people speak, unlike many other spaces, and that's really our bag. You know, that's why people keep coming back. So if you want to keep coming back, everyone, we have a post match show every match. After the match actually starts during stoppage time, so we would love for you to come by, have a chat with us, hosted by one of our other favorite Echo members, The Score, who is The Score 01 on Twitter. Lovely guy, great post match host, and usually you'll hear me and Louis coming in to give our thoughts on the match. So come join us every match. After the match, you can be right here on Twitter Spaces, X Spaces. Whatever you want to call it. I don't even know what this is anymore. But
it's an X formerly known as Twitter.
Even worse. Rings off the tongue like Vitaly Potapenko or give me another Lithuanian basketball player. Zydrunas Ilgauskas.
I can give you a Lithuanian player that played in the Europa League. Oh. Qualifiers and played for Imperial Wolf. I can't give you a basketball.
Okay,
it rolls off the tongue like Edwin Azvalaka.
Edwin Azvalaka. Wow, Luis.
Eddie Valaka.
You had a really nice accent there, mate. Don't forget. You owe me an Imperial Wolf home and away kit. You offered it, so I know that you're. I know I that did. You're getting the team back together. So please just make sure you hold those two kits for me, as I'm a collector.
Oh, we're getting some new kits. Oh. Those kits are.
Look at that.
Going to be retro.
Sugar Daddy Louie, the Roman Abramovich of Imperial Wharf, coming through with the new kits.
Yeah. We've already established that if I have to get involved in situations, it is like Roman Abramovich landing his helicopter. It's already happened once, and it's been quite funny.
It's
people are like, oh no, Louis here, and I don't even step out. I send in one of the I send in the treasurer
because
they're the one that moans about.
It's because you're Italian and they think you're a mafioso. That's why they're just scared of the image. You're really just a teddy bear, but they think you're a don. So.
Let's not let people know that. All right, we have to make sure that people know that I am actually still a don. That is kind of how it works,
sorry,
because I knew I'm gonna do that. Don't ever let anybody know that I'm nice. That's what I like to think.
The biggest asshole I know, but you can catch this asshole every week on the Chelsea Echo match previews, which usually come out a day or two before the match. Those are live on Apple and Spotify, wherever you want to listen to them. You can find them. The post-match spaces are here live on Twitter after every match, but you can also find those on Apple and Spotify the next day. If you haven't followed the Chelsea Echo by now, what on earth are you doing? You've been in this room for like 50 minutes with us and you haven't followed any of us. It just kind of makes some sense. So go on.
Yeah, I think it's
give us a follow. Give me a follow so that I can have more followers than Louis someday. I'm starting my journey now. So give me a follow over Lou if you have to choose between one of us. And
Right.
You know,
thanks.
Just to reiterate, the Chelsea Echo is a place where we really just want everybody to come and have a proper chat about Chelsea, and we wouldn't be able to do this without the backing of our amazing company that we're working for, The Sideline. The Chelsea Sideline Club is a really, really cool experience that we're bringing to Chelsea supporters for the first time this year. I don't think you can get any closer to your favorite club than joining the Chelsea Sideline Club. We have some amazing access, some really unique content that we haven't seen anywhere else in the football world. And it's just the beginning for us. So if you're interested, want to know more about the Echo or the Chelsea Sideline Club, give us a follow. You know, check out the Sideline _ CFC for the Sideline Club's Twitter account. And we're talking about, you know, Thiago Silva in this space, but we've got some exclusive interviews with John Terry that have never about things that he's never really talked about up right now live on the website and on Apple and Spotify. So go check it out, Chelsea Sideline Club, the Sideline _ CFC. And we hope to see you guys soon. Lou, you have anything to leave these beautiful people with?
Up the Chelsea. Obrigado, monstro, and yeah, lots of love, guys.
Up the Chelsea. Obrigado, Thiago. Meu bem. Te amo. Tchau.